Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
May God grant me the words to speak His thought. Hello, welcome to another live episode of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, aka Be True. Thank you for tuning in. My apologies for not broadcasting on Friday. And the talk with Arthur, self-publisher Sean Alexander Hamilton, will happen on Wednesday for Winning Wednesday, and he's excited to do. Part two of our discussion from a couple weeks ago, he will discuss his life as a author and as a self-publisher. Plus, we will finish our talk regarding his newest release, Catch. Don't chase your dreams, catch them. And his two other books, and you can check out his books at Amazon. So, thank you for tuning in. Get your call, like I just posted on Facebook. Get your coffee, your tea, or your sumsum. I know some people that store, you know, with other things. So your sumsum, whatever. And if you're enjoying your breakfast, lunch, dinner, or late dinner, thank you for tuning in, worldwide listeners. A big shout out again to the top five, United States, Canada, China, UK, Morocco, and everybody that's been supportive since day one, March 21st, 2011. If you're a first-time listener, I've been getting first-time callers, first-time listeners, and first-time callers of the show. At 7 o'clock, we'll open the phone line because I'm gonna leave the screen a little to look at the real-time news because there has been so much happening. I mean, wow. If I had a late-night show scheduled for Friday night, it was some, you know, I'm in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. We had an escape inmate that killed a deputy down in Simpson County, down where my man and his family is, down in Simpson County. I was so afraid. You know, you realize how much, there's been so much, I know many of you can relate to this because we talk about this on the show, doing so much going on, coronavirus, violence, protests. Then when crazy stuff happened where your loved ones are, you know, my man and we already did not see each other much because of quarantine and self-isolation and all that and other things. And, oh, man, an inmate killed the deputy. And I'm shocked it has not been on national news. I think I am shocked it has not been on national news, but that was happening when a situation happened in Atlanta. So definitely sending prayers too to the world, to the city of Jackson, to the state of Mississippi, to the entire country, to the mayor in Atlanta, all that she's dealing with and keeping her composure, not letting us see her sweat and keeping it all together. She's dealing with these riots. Then, a few weeks ago, about six police officers were fired for tasing and treating a couple so crazy, and then this happened on Friday night. Now she's interviewing new leadership in her police department. Then I wake up this morning, the police union is saying that the police officer that murdered Rashard was fired unlawfully. So, oh my goodness, but praying for all our political leaders like we do here on the show. I just wanted to get that out, but here we were dealing with a loss of a nearly 80-year-old deputy sheriff in Simpson County that was transporting an inmate to get a mental health evaluation. Well, they were leaving. The inmate overpowered him, killed him. Then it was a manhunt in Simpson County, which is a, it's a developed area, but it's a rural area. Because I, you guys know, because you know, it's a rural area, and he was hidden in the woods. But it was so crazy. He stepped out. I guess he was tired of hiding. He stepped out right in the midst of the law enforcement. So wow. I mean, but you know, armed and dangerous manhunt. So many of you that network with me and network with the with reporters and all, you all will see that story. It should make the news too. I mean, but there has been so much going on. You know, it's been a lot of law enforcement officers being murdered too in recent weeks with the unrelated, you know, riots and protests and crimes. So Simpson County had a Black Lives Matter protest scheduled on Saturday, but it was canceled. But last night they had a vigil for the fallen officer. But the inmate, I think he's charged with murder, capital murder. Ross Adams of 16 always does a wonderful job, and Teresa Apple of NBC Channel 3, she's an amazing crime reporter, and she provided us with frontline news coverage, and that's how Terry and his mom would get news from me. I would share the news with them regarding the updates on what was happening. And, like, do not try to be a superhero. Call 911 if you do spot him in the woods near you guys' house. But thank you all for tuning in. It Make Money Motivating Monday, and you know, discussing all the hot topics, reopening of businesses. We share websites and all that. Regarding what's going on in Mississippi, and also what I can nationally. SBA doing a great thing. You all go to your local SBA.gov. You usually can put in like SBA.gov and your state initials, / in your state initials to see what's going on locally. But go to SBA Small Business Administration's Facebook page or social media. Sign up to get the email, because the Mississippi office provides weekly webinars now. Big shout out to Rosetta Harris and the crew at the local office. I love SBA. And the workshops and clinics and information that they provide, and they're really great with us, and even greater now. And let's see. Yeah, so check out the webinars and sign up for some of these amazing webinars with like some of your favorite business mags. Like Inc. have been doing some awesome webinars, or NARS, whatever you like to say, webinars on Zoom. I'm trying to see who else. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce have been providing awesome webinars and others. Some that you might be signed up and not reading your emails, but check them out. You'll be surprised all what you will learn. Big shout out to No Labels, also bipartisan organization that I have been a part of a long time, and I'm a new top leader with the steering committee. So today is our steering committee meeting. We have meetings every Monday. We have been having members, and those of you that are interested in joining, every Wednesday, now monthly. So I do share the steering committee meetings when they're provided to us, so you can check out what we're talking about. Because all about problem solving, red and blue and purple coming together. And there's the Problem Solvers Caucus in D.C., with bipartisan lawmakers who are trying to, you know, keep the budget in line and, you know, solve problems effectively by interacting with us, the voters, we the people. But it has been, I'm trying to cut down on the butts and the others. That was a pet peeve, Mom. She hates to hear people speak and always say, and oh, and woo, you know, and it's not good to feel things without, but I'm very seldom I have a loss for words, and I do like to make my bullet points, which I do have, but I like to speak also from the heart. So working on effectively getting the show up to par, and I thank you all for still loving the show, and thank you blogtalkradio.com for encouraging. I had never thought about discontinuing the show because it has been amazing to produce and host, and love it when I have guest co-hosts and when callers call in, and looking forward to some of the former guests returning and guest co-hosts, Cousin Linda, that dude Mike Ridge, who has been working on many things. Also, some of our, I know Janice Lewis is coming back real soon. Remember her? Wow. You know, like, where are they now? So the Where Are They Now shows are definitely coming real, real, real soon. One of our developers here in Jackson is coming, who is opening up a new apartment in downtown Jackson, and he have developments all across the country. So looking forward to him coming on also. But there's so much big news, and we'll talk about that. And you call in also after 7, so we can talk about what you would like to talk about, from Minneapolis to good and not so good news. It's motivating to make money Monday. I don't know anybody who do not want to live a good life, regardless of socioeconomic background. If you have money overflowing out the bank or broke or what, everybody want to know how to make money, keep money, save money, how to have, like, wow. That's something we should start a series on, too. Those of you that are successful at residual passive income, everyone, I believe, would love to have multiple streams of income coming in. So definitely would do a series on that. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, I started the series on Fridays. And so part 2 will be this Friday, since we missed broadcasting on Friday, America's Truth Unveiled. And the first episode was a success. And so looking forward to this Friday. And again, my apologies for not broadcasting on this past Friday. And thank you to Juan Cloy, policing expert Juan Cloy, for coming on a couple of times and sharing so much vital information. Last night he hosted a Facebook page. I only caught like the last 30 minutes of it, but it was awesome. It appeared to be geared to law enforcement, but it was great for us, the citizens, to listen and watch and breathe in what he was sharing regarding academy trainings and effective policing and so on. So remember to network with him on social media at Juan Cloy also. So, like I said, I am going to leave the screen for about 10, 15 minutes. So if you call in, please do not hang up at 646-787-78. But not before I play Question of You by Prince. Because, you know, his birthday was a week ago. Thank you. Love me some Prince. Oh, yes. Question of You. I have always felt that song so deeply. Instead, I will share the headline news instead of talking about what's happening in real time. We'll talk about what's happening on real time on our ABC affiliate screen right now. The country could see more COVID-19 cases this summer as states reopen. I thought it was going to be a decrease, didn't you all? They're reminding the public that getting flu shots in the fall will be as important as ever. They're saying they're, instead of a spike coming in the fall, they're saying in the summertime. Rising gas prices are happening too. So that, when I began reading the headlines, then the screen went off. So those are two headline stories. Instead of less cases this summer, more are being predicted, and gas prices are going up. So from 7 to 7:15, I will talk about, I'll be away from the call-in screen, from the studio screen. So if you call in, please do not hang up, because at 7:15, I will let you call in so we can hear your voice and hear your thoughts and what concerns you. On this day of Motivate Make Monday talk here on Culture Shock Entertainment Reports with Beth, a.k.a. Be True.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it, and make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Okay. Also, what's been breaking news? Confederate flag. The Confederate flag. NASCAR, you know, they have banned anything that is of the Confederate flag. And the only full-time African-American driver, you know, promoted the BLM, Black Lives Matter. Also, the state of Mississippi remains under fire for our flag. So Governor Tate Reeves have always said that it should be the people's choice, not lawmakers' decision, but let the people vote on it like once in 2001. So just recently, like a couple months ago, I mean, I was surprised when that particular bill to change the state flag died on the floor. I was surprised that it did not go through to be voted on. But the governor is saying that it should not be the decision of a few lawmakers here in the capital city of Jackson, Mississippi, but of the people of the state of Mississippi should vote and make the decision again, like 2001. And I did not realize, and being the history buff that I am, a nerdy me, our governor, you know, I know he will admit he's a nerd too, and obviously, and the governor even, it surprised me when to find out that in 2001, the state of Mississippi flag was not our official flag. It had been flown since the 1800s, the late 1800s. As a representation of the state of Mississippi. But ironically, that's why it's important for us to know our history and study our history and know what's in, but know the history. See, if people had known that, a major decision could have been made. So when we the people voted in 2001, and it was voted to keep the flag, Then in 2001, the governor, which shocked me, because I thought it was the official flag. After it was voted on in 2001, then lawmakers turned it into the state of Mississippi's official flag. So the flag with the Confederate symbol that flies over the state of Mississippi, and that is the state of Mississippi's flag, it did not officially become the state flag until 2001, until after it was voted on. Not like, I'm sure I'm not alone, and I'm a history buff. Love me some, you, and anybody that knows me since I was a kid know I love me some history. One of my favorite subjects. I graduated early and could have graduated earlier. Could have skipped the 12th grade, but I stayed in to study what? Economics and American government. Love me some history. Well, I wanted to go on a senior trip and go to the proms and all that good stuff. But still, those were the only two half credit classes I took, baby, dealing with history and economics. And I was vice president of production in the junior achievement class in economics. But that shocked me. The flag have only been official since 2001. Not since the 1800s, well, like 1890. I think that was the year. How long it had been flying? It's been flying, but it did not become official until we the people voted and we kept it. So we the people vote on it to keep it or not. If it's decided not to keep it, then a beautiful Stennis flag. Probably would be the replacement flag, the new flag. But they get so many designs, but that's been the flag that's been promoted for so many years. The beautiful and very distinguished looking Stennis flag. I need to get Ross Adams on the show so we can talk about this, because he's a reporter that I met at the Haley Barber's second inauguration like 10 years ago, and he worked for CBS, but he's with our ABC affiliate, WAPT News. And I know when I was in Texas, he was covering all aspects of the flag, even black. There's many black people. There were black Confederate soldiers. There are many black people that want the flag to stay up. So no joke, you guys Google it. There, and Google Ross Adams' stories, because I know he is one reporter here in the state that covers that. Because I know when I was living in Texas, 2015 to 2016, I was amazed at the stories that he was covering regarding the blacks that wanted to stay up. Those that had relatives that were black Confederate soldiers. If the Civil War was about freeing the slaves, but then also there were black Confederate soldiers. And I remember as a little girl reading I still had that book up until recently. I remember reading a few books that were once my late brother's books and regarding the blacks that have fought in wars. And, you know, civil wars and other wars also. And there are many. So I just wanted to bring that to some of you all attention. There are some African-Americans, some blacks, people of color, that wanted to stay up because they feel that it's part of their history, because those before them were part of the Civil War and were Confederate soldiers. I'll provide you guys with the info if I can, like real soon. If I can get into my Google and give you some info to go to. I just wanted to put that in so we will see. And you all probably wonder my stance on the flag. It's hurtful. I'm with the governor on let the people vote for it. I probably would vote for a new flag if it was held today to vote, more than likely I'll vote for us to for it to come down and get a new flag. But I'm with the governor. Let the people decide. Let the people decide if they want to keep it or if they don't want to keep it and get a, you know, a new one. And I agree with him on that. Let the people. And he shouldn't be the one to decide either. Oh, we're going to take it down. Or, oh, we're going to keep it up. No, it shouldn't be his decision. And then it shouldn't be whatever that board of lawmakers, like he said, that would get in the boardroom and say, oh, well, let's keep it. Well, let's not keep it. It should be on the ballot in November, if it can, so we can, you know, work on healing, work on coming together, which we should have been doing in the first place, coming together. Preventing some of the things that are happening when it comes to race relations, seeking to understand and to be understood, really. Let's see, Mississippi State flag. See what is really coming up. Like right now, regarding. And there's a question, does it need? So all over the country, also a lot of Confederate and monuments have been literally destroyed and taken down. There's a controversy going on in a town outside of Jackson, in Brandon. There's a big Confederate statue, and people want it down. And some people are saying, "No way, it's part of history." So crazy. Here's an article from the Washington Times from yesterday. Push to remove Confederate battle star from Mississippi State flag renewed. And then there's a picture of the governor's mansion. And you all know I always share pictures of the beautiful governor's mansion in beautiful downtown Jackson, Mississippi. The article from the Washington Times says that support to change Mississippi State flag appeared to build this week, as religious representatives and Democratic lawmakers push for the legislature to act. Many religious leaders came together on Friday and held a peacefully stood in front of St. Peter's Episcopal Catholic Church, the Aglin across the government's mansion across the Smith Park. Just beautiful to see all those religious leaders, men and women of the cloth, stand together in peace, protesting the flag to come down. At present, Mississippi's flag contains what is widely regarded as a Confederate battle star, which opponents say is an everyday reminder of the state's racist past. With Confederate monuments tumbling across the South and many American cities gripped with protests over the unarmed black man in police custody, the time for change is propitious, leaders say. This week, members of Working Together Mississippi, an interfaith organization, on Friday, held a press conference on the steps of the Roman Catholic Cathedral in Jackson, with representatives from Jewish and Protestant denominations joining Catholic figures in a call for the legislature to approve a change. Wow. There's some other stories too. Trump finalizes rule defining gender as a person's biological sex. And I've seen this story. Four St. Louis police officers charged with beating an undercover colleague. And D.C. mayor is ensued over, you know, over that artwork that was painted last week near the White House. The D.C. mayor, who is also doing an amazing job, D.C. mayor sued over Black Lives Matter painted on the street near the White House. So I've seen a little bit of the story about the four St. Louis police officers beating their colleague, undercover colleague, That is crazy. That is crazy right there. This article is from Jeff Murdoch, and this is in the Washington Times. Seen the story overnight, but this we want to make sure I'm reading the updated story. Because I know I seen the story last night. Like some people say, check your info. I know I seen, but a picture that I'm seeing does not look like it's now, but it is popping up as a new story, but I'm not going to cover it until I confirm it. But I've seen the story overnight. I don't want to share any fake news, and it's sad that we see so many stories that seem like stories we've heard before, but then a new story. You know what I'm saying? Same stories. We often now hear same stories at different places now. When it comes to police brutality and when it comes to cop killing, sadly, it seems like they're the same story, but in different areas. So, here's a little more history, not just from my mind, but here's another article from our local media. Mississippi voted to keep its state flag in 2001. A lot has changed since then. And this is by a writer, Giacomo Bologna. And the article states, an entire generation of Mississippians has grown up since Mississippi voted in 2001 to keep the state flag. They came of age, sent photos of a noose around the neck of a James Meredith statue at the University of Mississippi, and a big shout out to James Meredith. He ran for mayor in 1997, and he overcame cancer. He had cancer when he ran. And that is the year we elected our first black mayor. Shout out to the honorable former mayor, Harvey Johnson, and first lady, Kathy Johnson. Shout out to them. They saw South Carolina remove the Confederate battle flag from the grounds of its capital after a mass shooting at a black church. They've seen the protests in Ferguson, Missouri, after police killed Michael Brown, and in Baltimore after Freddie Gray died from injuries sustained in the back of a police van. You guys, speaking of Prince, remember Prince composed a song called Baltimore, and his sister Tyka had posted that video, and I reshared it on my social media. I should add it to my playlist and play that song for those of you that remember Prince. And so I cannot even imagine how he would feel and what he would compose regarding what happened to George Floyd in the county that he was born in, the city that he was born in. This generation is now at the vanguard of the movement for police accountability and racial equity in Mississippi. They have played key roles in organizing protests around the state after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis on Memorial Day. A white police officer who has been charged with murder knelt on Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, even after Floyd, a black man, became unresponsive. And I was just shocked. On Monday and Tuesday, I kept receiving exclusive videos. Some people wonder, where are you getting these videos? Just fresh videos kept popping up on my feed. Then Tuesday, right before noon, the George Floyd video popped up. So I was one of the first to reshare that video. The worst video that was sickening that I had ever seen was in early May. Sean Reed, live stream of his murder by police officers. Oh, then when I seen that, and usually my sister's still alive, and I'm like watching the end, and I'm like crying, and I'm like, have you seen this video right here? And she was like, no, not at all. I mean, it was freshly like posted. So I shared it, and I'm like, I hope this is fake news, but it definitely was not. And still my, and Ben Crump, you know, he's based here in Jackson, Mississippi, Attorney Ben Crump. So just again, condolences and just much love to the George Floyd family, the Breonna Taylor family, Sean Reed family, the families right here in Jackson that are fighting for justice in Jackson for relatives being murdered by the hands of law enforcement, and just all over the world. But that was just crazy to see that. I just could not believe it. And then, wow, to actually hear that was real news, and that was, because I just could not believe. And when I watched that video, I seen human. I seen another human killing another human, not the officer friendly that I grew up with. Like, that's definitely not officer friendly, not at all. To just, and then friendly, because the one that was standing guard was no better, just standing there stone faced, you know. And then when I later seen where the other two officers were pressing down on his body, just sad. But I know you all probably wondered, is she going to finish the article? But it's on our local media, Clarence Ledger. For those of you that like to know what's going on locally, check out Jackson Free Press, the Clarence Ledger, WLBT, WAPT, Fox 40, WJTV. Check out our local media for those of you that want to really follow what's actually going on. And also follow our government. Our state capital news and our governor, Tate Reeves, and our lieutenant governor, David Holzman. I'll follow their social media. But for the organizers of the protest in Jackson, drew thousands of attendees, harking back to the civil rights movement of the 1960s, are fresh and out of high school or currently in college. The Mississippi flag contains Confederate symbol. The organizers, as well as every Mississippian under the age of 37 who never had the opportunity to vote on the state flag, which contains what is commonly known as the Confederate battle flag, a symbol often associated with white supremacy. So, the ballot initiative is, want a real vote in Mississippi state flag? How to make it happen in 2020? As protesters and public officials in cities such as Birmingham, Alabama, take down Confederate memorials, Mississippi's flag is once more being reexamined by residents, young and old, Democrat and Republican, black and white. Google searches for Mississippi flag have surged over the week. Republican Andy Taggart, who lost a close race for Attorney General in 2019, has renewed his call for the flag to be changed. Mike Espy, the Democratic nominee for Mississippi's 2020 U.S. Senate race, has called for it to be changed. It was at the protest that was held a week ago. Mississippi actress Anjanou Ellis, she actually contacted our First Lady on a Facebook post, and it's in this article regarding that the state flag should be removed. She made a video addressed to Ely Reeves, the wife of Governor Tate Reeves, asking her to push for the flag's removal. When they see us, Anjanou Ellis reflects on Emmy nomination in her Mississippi roots. So you guys can check out all of the titles and articles connected to this article. So all around you in Birmingham, in Southeast Louisiana, us, New Orleans and Richmond, Virginia, white citizens, white American citizens, like you are up rooting the stone, plaster, copper, brass, pewter, gold, silver, resin, bone of a legacy that facilitated the national crisis we're in, she said. At one point Saturday, protesters in Jackson chanted for the flag's removal at Saturday's protest in Jackson. Meanwhile, the state flag fluttered above them just outside the governor's mansion. That was a week ago. So there's also a picture of the Stennis flag, and it's available also as a special tag in Mississippi. So Governor Reeves has never come out in support of changing the state flag. So he has said he would respect the will of the people of Mississippi and voted to change the flag. And on Friday's press conference, he spoke much, and he did not shy away from questions from reporters. Richard Peeler deflected questions about the Mississippi State flag at press conference last Monday, and again on Friday he talked about it, and reporters asked him about it. When asked what he sees, and he looks at the flag, Reeves replied, "I see a flag that the vast majority of Mississippians voted in 2001 to maintain the Mississippi state flag." And he was asked a lot about his college days, also when he was a student at Mississippi, I think Bellhaven, when he was a student, I like to say Millsap. But I think Millsap. And during his college days, because he was caught up in like a little controversy back during the time, like when the governor of Virginia was in trouble for some college antics that had happened. And so he addressed that question also regarding that, his college days, of some questionable activities that he was part of. And as he stated, so was many, many, many others also. So athletics and politics. Colleges have been talking. New Ole Miss football player speaks out against the state flag on social media. So check that out within the article. The legislature has the power to change the state flag. And so the governor is not for that. He's saying it should not be a decision of the legislature. A few lawmakers here in the city of Jackson in the back office, that it should be a decision of the people. And I agree with him on that. It should be a decision of the people. But numerous bills to do so have languished and died year after year. Reeves refused to say whether he would sign a bill that would change the state flag. Mississippi residents could register a ballot initiative and have Mississippians vote again on changing the flag. So doing so would require 100,000 signatures. So the reporter for that article name is Jack. Call him at 961-7282. And also you can email him at gbalona@gannett.com. And he's on Twitter at gbalona, like baloney, CL also. So that is what's happening. I mean, big news is happening right here when it comes to the flag, the Confederate flag, and racist civilism also. So let's see. SBA. I received an email from SBA on yesterday. You all know I was one of the first to apply for the EIDL on April 3rd. So, and I had talked to one of my friends right before the show. He talked about he turned me on. I turned him on to a lot of stuff regarding SBA. And I turned him on, and he received like his like the $1,000. So I received an email yesterday regarding advance payment. I just need to re-verify some things from that original application that I had filled out. It's not the actual loan, but it's advance money that's separate from the loan. So some of you that maybe like me didn't get anything, they checked your credit and you got, letters that they had ran out of money. Check your emails, because those of us that did apply April the 3rd and before the crash and all of that, they're contacting us. And so I did get an email on yesterday regarding advance money. And it's separate than the actual loan grant. Because they call it a loan, but we don't have to repay it. Check your emails. Don't ignore it. Read it, because it might be that. So I'm on the SBA.gov website now. So definitely go to their website, look at their COVID-19 relief options and additional resources area. And again, sign up too if you like attending webinars. Definitely sign up for those webinars to get information, updated info. And also, another regional manager, a couple of weeks ago, T.I. and the regional director with SBI based in Atlanta. They had asked me if I would like to streamline all their town hall meeting. I had a no labels meeting. I thought at the same time, but it was an hour later. They sent me their list. Many of the representatives with SBA regional, and of course Rosetta, whom she and I, we befriended each other a long time ago when we used to have the Mississippi Business Expo that was hosted by Mississippi Business Journal. That's when she and I befriended each other, and I had the podcast then, and she was like, I'll keep you updated with info. And sure enough, I get info from Ms. Rosetta from down there at the Mississippi State office, and when in Texas, have met the Fort Worth directors also at Bill Walsh's Small Business Expo in Dallas, you know, the tour on small business. So I wonder what they're doing about the tours. They would be virtual, or they're going to, like, scale them down a little? Because those are amazing expos that tour the country. So, like I said, I'm on the SBA.gov website, and so, you know, they recently added not just the EIDL loan, but they have it now for the agricultural businesses also. EIDL loan advance for agricultural businesses also. So go to the website, check out the info, they have the not only the sole proprietors and small business, but they have homeowners. Also in renters loans also. But like I have stated before, there's information provided where you need to contact FEMA first to get a FEMA ID number, and then get with SBA to apply for your homeowners renters loans, which are really grants. You don't have to pay back the loans. And wherever you are, look at the local assistance too, for what's being provided in your area. So I'm going to check out my screen and see if anyone has chimed in as I am looking at what's current, what's real news. Please, talking to myself and talking to you all, trying to get my screen back up. So thank you all again for tuning into blogtalkradio.com. You're tuned into Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Also, email me if you would like to be a guest in the near future. If you would like for me to add your music to the playlist, send it in MP3, WMA or WAV wave files. Also, send in your media kit regarding your business. You know, those that would like to be guests and discuss their businesses or their community efforts, or just talk about what's important. This is an entertainment lifestyle show, and we talk about the good, the not so good, and the ugly. But you know, we keep everything in a positive manner because this is Motivating Monday. So no calls are in right now. So I just did not want to have someone holding on that, you know, shouldn't be holding on so long, because it's 7:30, and I said I would be back looking at the screen at 7:15.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Okay, thank you. That was, I replayed that PSA again for you regarding IRS and getting prepared. Big shout out to my tax preparer, our tax preparer, Katefa, Tim's Tax Solutions. Big shout out. She's busy, 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 busy. Her office is busy, busy, busy. So big shout out to her. And also a dear friend of mine, my CPA also, Jermaine Patrick. And any and everybody who have assisted me. I've done my own taxes before, but it's, I love it when others do. So big shout out to my tax preparer. Check her out. There's a Facebook page, Tim's Tax Solutions, and she's awesome. And she's not just for tax season. Her office is open year-round. She helps you with notary and just with all your financial. She has amazing financial services they help you with. Regarding your money, managing your money properly, and living, being financial literate, and keeping everything in order, just a blessing, most definitely. So, want to pull up the new website that the governor has been talking about. Many people are still checking out MDES also when it comes to looking for jobs and filing unemployment insurance claims. So you go to MDES.mississippi.gov, you're in the state of Mississippi. You know how to search for that information also. So, but here in the state of Mississippi, go to MDES.ms.gov when it comes to looking for work and unemployment claims. And also the WIN Job Center. And I believe you can go to the MDES office. And if I'm not mistaken, it's not far from where I am right now. And then I'm looking at articles related to the job market, which is one of the headlines for the show. Scammers having an easier time assessing unemployment benefits demented legitimately jobless. Now that is sad. That's just like it's sad for the IRS to send out checks to, I know some of you, and I, to deceased and illegal deserve their money. But those ones that are waiting for our refund checks, we need our refund checks. And those that are waiting for stimulus checks, we need their stimulus checks too. So that either IRS, you know, need to hire some more people or something. But definitely need to double check not to send money to deceased people, most definitely. And undocumented people if they're not on record. But everybody needs their money. Like Nancy Pelosi said, everybody needs their money. True enough. But like that's one thing my sister and I agree on. Natural born Americans, and me, I've heard many others say too, definitely need money that we've refunds, and definitely need our stimulus money. Instead of printing that money for deceased people, I mean, send people like myself still looking for refunds to come, you know. And I seen a story on ABC News Roslyn Report where some people have filed back in February. We filed back in March. Still have not received their money. And there's no reason for it. I mean, the COVID, yes, and printing up a stimulus and doing all that, but it's scary, and especially when people are waiting weeks and weeks and weeks. And I guess we're not complaining, but it could be, I guess, in a way we are, because we expect it to be a little late, but not very, very, not such a very long wait. But this is an amazing topic to go under the job market segment of discussion. Scammers, this is from the Daily Journal and with Mississippi Today. Scammers have an easier time assessing unemployment benefits than many legitimately jobless Mississippians. This article is from June 12th. A server in Mississippi applies for unemployment for losing her new job and the event venue that closed to prevent the spread of COVID-19. But she works on contract and botched investigation into her previous employment deemed her ineligible for unemployment insurance. Another woman who hadn't worked in nearly 2 years applies for pandemic unemployment assistance, simply checking the box labeled unemployed due to the pandemic on her online claim. She begins receiving the benefits immediately. The two scenarios illustrate the deeply complex and often unfair ways that states deliver unemployment benefits, especially during unprecedented disasters, according to interviews with two sources who have worked directly with the system. The Mississippi Department of Employment Security, which administers unemployment in the state, did not grant Mississippi Today's request for an interview with top officials for this story. Donna Petty, the head brisk server and a single mom, went without a paycheck for more than 2.5 months and even received an eviction notice as she navigated the mind-numbing unemployment process. "I was in unemployment limbo, an unemployment nightmare," she said. The agency didn't even initially tell her it had denied her claim due to inaccurate information and an old employer gave the agency. And for weeks, she failed to get through a department's overwhelmed call center to clear up the issue. She successfully appealed and eventually received a debit card in mail in early June. And yet many others, including fraudsters, have sailed smoothly through the system. Unemployment fraud, which usually occurs when someone uses another person's information to file claims, is more likely to go unchecked during this current crisis due to the large volumes of claims, the increased payments, and the less rigorous eligibility determination the agency imposes on pandemic unemployment assistance claims. Like other states, some which are actually froze unemployment payments due to widespread fraud, Mississippi will likely pay millions on fraudulent claims during the pandemic, experts estimate. And those of you in other states probably can relate to what your state, respective state, is going through and dealing with. The scope of the likely misspending is huge. Matt Weidinger, longtime deputy staff director of the House Committee on Ways and Means, wrote in a post for public policy think tank American Enterprise Institute in May. Even before the crisis, UI had a high payment error rate of 10.6%, resulting in improper payments of nearly $3 billion in the year ending June 30, 2019. If the same error rate applies to the massive $268 billion increase in projected federal UI benefit spending over the coming year, the $28 billion misspent will exceed all state UI benefits paid last year, UI unemployed insurance. Officials from Mississippi Employment Security told me LOX it has received dozens of calls from Mississippians who say someone has used their information to file unemployment claims without their knowledge. The agency said in June 4th email to Mississippi Today that it does not have an estimate for how many fraudulent or improper claims it has paid. There are no measurements because claim filing payments are continuous and cannot be defined presently, but we have it at a later date and time, it said. As for recouping funds paid out erroneously, the agency is in the process of defining these measures, and once they're finalized, it will be released to the media. In order to root out fraud, the traditional unemployment insurance system contains an exhaustive list of questions claimants must answer and a process by which I looked off looking. I'm looking for the new website info. I don't mean to stop on you all, but I was reading and I want to provide some info next. Bring it about the businesses, the website that the governor stated, but let me continue reading this. In order to root out fraud, the traditional unemployment insurance system contains an exhaustive list of questions claimants must answer in a process by which agency employees verify that the information is accurate, such as by contacting employers. But the process can also cause long delays for people with legitimate claims who desperately need timely assistance to keep afloat after losing their job through their no fault of their own. There is that trade-off between safeguards to prevent fraud and speed of processing claims. And I'm not sure we've achieved the balance very well, said State Auditor Chad White. White said his office plans to help in ongoing federal investigations into fraud schemes within the state's unemployment system. During disasters such as Hurricane Katrina in 2005, states have sometimes taken the approach of doling out funds first to make sure people receive the help they need, then identifying and recouping any overpayments on the back end. Like delivering water through a line, White said, some water loss is the price you're willing to pay to get where it needs to go. White worries, however, the large amounts of money lost to sophisticated out-of-state or even international fraud schemes would be difficult to claw back. And Washington State, which made national headlines as the subject of one of the largest schemes, was able to recoup $300 million in payments made to unemployment scammers, several outlets reported. Mass layoffs and COVID-19 and the policies Congress enacted to help struggling families, primarily bumping weekly benefits by $600 and expanding eligibility to the self-employed and contract workers who would not have otherwise qualified for the benefits, has compounded the nation's already deeply complicated unemployment insurance system. Normally, to qualify for unemployment in Mississippi, a person must have worked at an employer that pays unemployment insurance, made enough money in the previous year to qualify for benefits, and have been laid off or fired for a reason other than misconduct. A person voluntarily quits their job is not typically eligible for benefits. In determining eligibility, the department looks at the amount of wages a person earned in the previous year prior to 3 months before they submitted the claim. Even though Patty had started a new contract yet that she lost due to the pandemic, she had eligible W-2 wages from a job she left in 2019. So the state settled a traditional unemployment claim. The employer erroneously indicated she voluntarily quit. She said automatically disqualifying her due to what's called a separation issue. She appealed the denial, and it took roughly 2 months for the investigator to rectify her case. The other woman, whose last job at a factory ended in 2018, did not have sufficient wages to qualify for traditional unemployment. So she filed a pandemic unemployment assistance claim, which is not considered wages since it is designed for people such as the self-employed who do not have eligible wages. Unlike the traditional unemployment insurance claim, the agency does not have a consistent policy to follow up with any employers or require tax records to verify that the pandemic unemployment assistance applicant's information is correct, according to sources. The claim is simply approved and set up to start receiving payments, whereas another legitimate claim may trigger an investigation that could last several weeks, partly because the agency is sorely lacking the number of investigators needed to handle the large influx of claims due to COVID-19. By June 6th, the number of people who filed unemployment insurance claims in Mississippi since the pandemic began soared to a record-breaking nearly 340,000. The agency separately reported had established 81,000 pandemic unemployment assistance claims by May 30th. I do think that it's very unfair and frustrating that other people were getting things I qualified for, Patty said. Mine was stuck and there was nothing I could do. People believe who their identity has been used within the fraud scheme may report the incident to the Mississippi Department of Employment Security at safe@mdes.ms.gov. Again, if you feel like you've been a victim of a fraud scheme, contact Mississippi Department of Employment Security at safe@mdes.ms.gov. Dial them up at 1-800-843-8923. Again, 1-800-843-8923. Or to the U.S. Department of Labor Office of Inspector General at oig.dol.gov/hotline.htm 202-693-6999. or dial 1-800-347-3756. Again, 202-693-6999 or 1-800-347-3756. So I'm tweeting this article out on my Twitter at Beth Williams right now. So it's on Twitter. I just tweeted it out. So that's important info going under job market. And also remember, if you have need to call the Mississippi Coronavirus Hotline, call 1-877-978-6453. My Mississippi Department of Health quarantine ended on Wednesday. Yay. You know, I quarantined and followed the guidelines. Anyway, I have not had any symptoms, but I look forward to taking a test. I look forward to visiting my doctor to check my blood pressure and all that stuff, and we schedule a mammogram I need. So one of my friends told me he's going to the dentist this morning. So look like we're pretty much back in business where we can go on our medical appointments and all the dental appointments. And I guess I have friends that get their Botox. You guys remember, I still need to finish getting my esthetician license. So I know many that get Botox and all are probably glad to be resuming getting their Botox services, and can't wait to get my nails done and go to a hair salon. Shout out to Tony and Tina also. So I guess I tried to multitask as I was reading, and I attended an awesome webinar on Friday, Jim Quick, and I think that was hosted by Inc. He's the author of Limitless, and it is about improving our memory. And someone asked a question about multitasking, and he mentioned there's no such thing as multitasking. Huh. Many of us think we are multitasking. And he said either you're doing one thing or you're either doing another. You might think you're multitasking, but having that thought prevents us from really doing what we need to do. So SBA.gov number is 1-800-659-2955. 1-800-659-2955. And also regarding things that I had mentioned, contact your employment services in your state. If you're in the state of Mississippi, MDES.gov is the website also. So just, I am attempting to multitask. Even remember, though, he's stressed, and he's author of Limitless. And so many of you probably seen his YouTube videos, and he has a podcast also on iTunes. So amazing, amazing webinar. Learned a lot, because recently I had Unlimitless Memory, something like that. But there was a time so many of us, we could remember like 50 numbers, right? Now we're blessed if we remember 5 numbers. So it's almost time to conclude the program. So I'm going to head back to the studio version. And I thank you all for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Each time I looked into the studio, I did not see a call. And I wanted to see what was happening as I am broadcasting live. But save the number, the call-in number at 646-787-1578. And remember, on Wednesday, author, self-publisher, Sean Alexander Hamilton will return to talk about his life as an author and self-publisher and discuss his books, Defeating Financial Anger, Don't Chase Your Dreams, Catch Them, and his book about broken paths. You can buy his book at Amazon. But it's going to be an amazing winning Wednesday. some inspiring videos that I like to look at are books I like to read. Napoleon Hill, Zig Ziglar. I think we're talking about Motivating Monday. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. Dan Pena, oh my God, love his teachings. And Tony Robbins, Les Brown, Will Smith. And I love to watch the motivational videos also from the great Kobe Bryant. All are perfect for Mondays and every day, but especially get that Monday kicked off in perfect form. So I think we have a few more minutes. We do. We have like 7 minutes to live stream. We'll end the show in a bit. Just want to reshare my email address at Culture Shock Entertainment, KULTURESHOKENT_BETH@yahoo.com. KULTURESHOKENT_BETH@yahoo.com. You know, connect with me all throughout social media. I'm in my LinkedIn, so shout out to all my LinkedIn connections, Twitter, YouTube, youtube.com. Visit my Avon site at youravon.com, Beth Beauty Style. Also, thank you all that follow and like Terry and I page. Thank you for your prayers, your much-needed prayers. And I'm definitely praying for Simpson County as they prepare to bury the deputy sheriff that was murdered on Friday by escaped but captured inmate. His funeral will be on Wednesday. Officer Deputy James Blair, the late James Blair, sending love to all law enforcement throughout the state of Mississippi. So many agencies were a part of that, and the community also. But thank you. So Wednesday, on Winning Wednesday, Sean Alexander Hamilton, Friday, we continue to discuss America's Truth Unveiled. Looking forward to another amazing broadcast. The first one was off the chain. Big shout out to the caller that called in. And we just had an open discussion about police being trained properly. And why isn't there like a national police division of the government, you know, based in D.C.? And we'll continue to talk. Let's talk about defunding police versus proper training. I'm on the proper training side. You know, I try to be cut and clear on where I stand. And who and why I vote for certain politicians, being a long-time political enthusiast, which I know becoming a politician is not too far in my life. Somewhere, not in Mississippi, maybe Texas, I don't know where. But my late mother always said, when you get in the office, you need to be in a position where you can have to pay money to people. You know, it's about that, and God, we trust about that money, right? So thank you all for tuning in, like always. Save the number, because you never know when you want to chime in and share a thought. Shout out to my cohorts here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, Springer will be coming back alive, my podcast, Culture Shock Entertainment Presents. And I do have, you know, spinoff shows here on Blog Talk Radio, but getting this of my original broadcast back in full-fledged form and even better, because now we can Facebook Live and we can do our Insta stories and just have a good time and do Zoom meetings also in connection to the podcast. So that's what's amazing. So again, thank you for tuning in. It's been amazing, motivating Make Money Monday talk, and I have not sipped on my coffee, so I'm going to sip on my coffee. Just have an amazing, blessed Monday, sending love vibes, positive vibes, good vibes. Thank you for your vibes to my loved ones and I, and to Pooch BJ, Terry, and I appreciate it. Thank you all for your prayers. Wow. When we decided to elevate our friendship to a high level, he knew it was in store. I believe in fairy tales. So I always think, I mean, those of you that know me from the show and know me in real life, no, I am a hopeful romantic. So, but life is real. It's the real deal. The hard knocks, right? Like many of you say, the past, I guess, 15, 20 years, I have been out of my bubble. So some of us, you know, we, and that's a topic we'll talk about probably on Friday. You know, we talk about white privilege, but it's not just white privilege. There are some elite blacks, and there are some people of many different races who we live in our bubbles. We live in our own world. And that's why we need to have empathy, and many of us need to be compassionate. And that's of all races, need to have an open mind and become more empathetic and more compassionate. Not just compassionate for people to see our way of living and our views and come into our world and walk in our shoes, but are you willing to step into the next person's world and walk in their shoes? Also, at least listen to the stories, watch the stories, and seek to understand. So I guess on that note, that's what I'm closing the show out on, for us to be compassionate beings and to love more than hate. You know, to be for love, to be for God. Even my atheist friends, they believe in sharing love, being for love. Let's come together. So, you know, that's good. Just make small steps every day to not only seek to be understood. Because sometimes we feel like we don't fit in, or, oh, they just don't understand me. But also it's important to seek to understand. You know, let's try to be understandable and understand one another and educate one another. And when people share their stories, I mean, you know, listen to their stories. But again, thank you. You've been tuned to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and it's been an amazing broadcast. And we look forward to you all calling in on Wednesday, Sean and I. Look forward to you calling in to discuss his books and ask him questions about being an author and a self-publisher, because I know many of you are writers and are authors or love to read. And the topics that we will discuss and continue to discuss are all about making our dreams come true, defeating financial anger, and also living successful lives even through our brokenness. And again, just go to Amazon, Sean. I was in Hamilton because, you know, I started a book club here for the show. So those are the first books for us to check out. Next, check out P. Diddy's audio book for, you know, when you go to sleep. I like to listen to those meditation. Awesome book I'm going to tell you all about. If not on the next broadcast, it'll be on Friday. I don't want to take up too much time from Mr. Sean. But again, thank you for tuning in. It's been a blessing. Remember, God is love and love is God. Send a shout out to my Terry and his family and loved ones down in Simpson County. Love you very much. And love my friends. Love my mentors. Love my family. Let's continue to take care of our animals and pets and just take care of everything. Take care of the earth. Big shout out to the astronauts out in the galaxies. Also, much love. Thank you all and God bless.